If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Today is Saturday, July 17th. Today, we're talking about unidentified flying objects, aka UFOs. This topic has been in the news a lot lately since the Pentagon recently put out a report summarizing everything U.S. intelligence officials have learned about them after years of investigating. It says the mysterious objects Navy pilots have reported seeing over the years are real, not illusions. But they still don't know exactly what they are. We spoke with Professor Avi Loeb about this. He's a Harvard astrophysicist, best known for his theory that we've already had an encounter with an alien civilization. Dr. Loeb explains why it's unlikely the flying objects were man-made, and talks about evidence scientists need to determine once and for all whether we're alone in the universe or not. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy's Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Lacey Evans, filling in for Erica Mandy during her maternity leave. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Professor Loeb, thanks for joining us on the Newsworthy.
Thanks for having me.
The Pentagon positively identified only one out of the 144 UFO sightings they analyzed. So why do you think most of those objects couldn't be identified?
We don't have good enough data. There should be many more incidents than the ones reported because, as the report said, there was a stigma and ridicule that prevented many people from coming forward, the people in the military and others. What we should be intrigued by is the claim that some of the objects should be real because they were detected by multiple instruments, including radar systems, infrared cameras, and optical cameras, and multiple people seeing the same thing. And I'm sure there were more sensors that were available that are not being disclosed because they are classified. And so the point is, that is the most important message that we get, that some of the objects are real and their nature is not known. The report is intriguing enough for this subject to move away from the talking points of politicians, national security advisors, or military personnel into the realm of science. Scientists could potentially collect data and evidence from the sky. The sky is not classified, only the sensors are classified. And we can simply do a scientific experiment where we use the best cameras we have, connect them to wide field telescopes, and feed the data into computer systems that will analyze it. And it will all be open data, transparent to the public. And I think scientists, in principle, can clear up the fog.
What specifically do you think needs to happen to identify these objects? I mean, it sounds like you want to get it out of the hands of the military and the politicians and into the hands of the scientists because you're a little better equipped.
Exactly. The instruments that were available to pilots or Navy people were not optimized for the purpose of recording data on unidentified objects. These cameras were installed for combat situations, and scientists can design the instruments to be used such that they will be optimized. We could get much higher quality data. What we really need is a very sharp image, a high resolution photograph that will tell us what an object is. And by the way, we just need one object that would appear to be not human made, not produced by nature, for this to be a very impactful discovery. Science is about reproducibility of results. So science is guided by evidence. And if we collect high quality evidence in the future that would be very convincing, I think then we will have a better idea about what these objects mean.
Got it. So the military was basically collecting this data by chance. And you're saying, as scientists, we can do better than that and collect more reasonable and purposeful data.
Exactly. And to me, as a scientist, when I'm faced with something anomalous, something that doesn't quite fit. I'm intrigued by that, and I would like to find more about it and collect more evidence because, you know, we shouldn't be guided by our prejudice. We shouldn't have prior notions about what it means. In fact, if you think about it, you know, the first indication is to think that maybe it's human-made, and if the object behaves in ways that supersede our technology, then you might suspect that an adversary, another nation like China or Russia, produced it for espionage purposes. But we pretty much know the limits of any human-made technology, because otherwise it would show itself in the consumer market or in the battlefield. And so if the objects are real and behave in ways that far exceed our abilities technologically, then there are two possibilities that remain. One, that these are natural objects, some phenomena that we've never expected before, or that they are of extraterrestrial origin. And I would argue both possibilities are very exciting and interesting because we learn something new. And so it's a win-win proposition to conduct a scientific experiment. And I just frankly do not understand those people that say, oh, that this is nothing interesting, you know, business as usual. In fact, I should also say that the public is very intrigued, and there are some potential funders of such an experiment that contacted me. And in fact, I might lead such a project.
Still ahead, have we already been visited by alien life? Dr. Loeb explains his theory, plus why he thinks other scientists have been hesitant to even study UFOs at all. But first, here's your main host, Erica Mandy, with today's sponsors.
Life insurance rates can go up each year, so now is a great time to apply for a policy. But before you do, check out Policy Genius. Policy Genius makes it easy for you to understand your options, compare quotes, and buy a life insurance policy all in one place. In fact, eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week, thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam requirement for a simple phone call. The exclusive policy was even rated number one by Forbes. As you know, life insurance provides a tax-free lump sum of money to your loved ones after your death, so you can make sure they're able to pay their everyday bills, children's college costs, final expenses, and more. Well, you can save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. And you could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. Getting started is easy, and in minutes, you can compare personalized quotes to find your best price. Head to policygenius.com to get started right now. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. That's policygenius.com. This episode is also made possible thanks to our next sponsor. Ritual is not your typical multivitamin. Its clean, vegan-friendly formula is made with key nutrients, including vitamin D3, to help fill gaps in the diet with just two daily pills. And they provide those nutrients in forms your body can actually use. No shady extras allowed. Even if I wasn't partnering with Ritual, I would be taking these vitamins. I appreciate that the company is so upfront about exactly what goes in the vitamins and why, and I can take them with or without food with no issues. Ritual's fresh-tasting, delayed-release capsules are designed to dissolve later in less sensitive areas of the stomach. They're also convenient. They're delivered right to my door with free shipping each month. Of course, you can start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. And get this, if you don't love Ritual within your first month, they'll refund your first order. Plus, right now, Ritual is offering the Newsworthy listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Just visit ritual.com/newsworthy to start your Ritual today. That's ritual.com/newsworthy.
Thanks, Erica. Now back to my conversation with Professor Avi Loeb. You said that many scientists are just not open to the idea that UFOs could be extraterrestrial. They don't even want to look at that option. Why do you think that is?
For the same reason that philosophers during the days of Galileo didn't want to look through his telescope. They pretty much knew for sure that the sun moves around the Earth. You look at the sky, you see the sun moving. Therefore, there is no point in looking through Galileo's telescope, and they put him in house arrest so that he will not really communicate the message to the public. And that didn't change much except maintain their ignorance. The Earth continued to move around the sun. And so my point is, very often, these major discoveries that we embark on are uncomfortable. They shake us away from the box that we were thinking within. And people do not like the notion that they may have missed something really significant. And they prefer to think that everything they see relates to what they already knew beforehand. My point is, you know, if you look at quantum mechanics that was discovered a century ago, that was unexpected. And actually, Albert Einstein resisted the notion that it's something completely new. And he was wrong. He thought that there is no spooky action at a distance, but there is in quantum mechanics. And a century later, it's still a bone in the throat of physicists. We don't fully understand the meaning of quantum mechanics, but it doesn't prevent us from building instruments based on quantum mechanics. In fact, the two of us are speaking using electronics that were designed based on our understanding of quantum effects. And what my point is, we learn by finding things that we didn't expect. Any ridicule or dismissal just because something was not experienced before, I think, is not representing what we've learned from the history of science. Traditionally, science is about paying attention to anomalies, paying attention to evidence, and not deciding ahead of time what the answer should be.
You say Earth has already had an encounter with an alien civilization. So tell us about Oumuamua and why you think it's extraterrestrial.
Well, this was the first interstellar object that we spotted near Earth in 2017. And at first, astronomers thought it must be like the rocks we have seen before within the solar system, except it came from another star. But as we collected more data about it, it looked anomalous. There were six anomalies, and this object didn't look like a comet. It didn't have a cometary tail of gas or dust. It didn't look like an asteroid because it was pushed away from the sun by some mysterious force, not as a result of evaporating gases. And the only force that could act that made sense was the reflection of sunlight. And for that, the object had to be very thin. And nature doesn't make thin objects. The question is, who produced the object from 2017, which is called Oumuamua, a scout in the Hawaiian language? And I have a book discussing all the details related to it called Extraterrestrial.
What are you doing now to explore the possibility that there is intelligent life out there?
I think the key is to collect more evidence. And I think a new frontier that was opened by the discovery of Oumuamua is space archaeology. Basically, looking for objects that came into the solar system from outside that look weird, that appear nothing like we have seen before. Not a comet or an asteroid. They have different properties when we look at them. And if we find one that is on its approach to us, we could send a spacecraft equipped with a camera that will take a close-up photograph. And they say a picture is worth a thousand words. And the same approach can be taken also with respect to UAP, the unidentified aerial phenomena. What we need is really a high-resolution photograph that we can get through a scientific experiment. So even though I'm a theoretical astrophysicist, you know, I do believe that the verdict should be given by very high-quality data. And I'm committed to collect that data. And the only thing missing is funding for the project such that we will get that data. And believe me, you will know when the data comes along and what it implies.
What inspired you to become an astrophysicist and go down this path?
At a young age, I grew up on a farm and I was mostly fascinated with philosophical questions. But then circumstances led me to physics and eventually astrophysics. I describe those in my book. There are some fundamental philosophical questions that we can address scientifically in the discipline of astrophysics. And one of them is, are we the smartest kid on the block? We can decide not to look through our windows, to close off the curtains and say, we don't have neighbors, we are really the smartest, but that would not make our neighbors go away. If they are out there, we better know about it. And so what I really hope for is that the young generation of today will create a new intellectual culture in which this topic is mainstream and we will figure out the answer.
Thank you to Professor Avi Loeb for sharing his expertise with us. If you're interested in learning more about his scientific theories, you can check out his book called Extraterrestrial, The First Sign of Intelligent Life Beyond Earth. We have a link in today's episode notes. We'll be back on Monday for our next news roundup. We keep you informed with all the news you need to know in about 10 minutes, Monday through Friday. Until then, have a great weekend.